Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yuma Daf Pei Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find on the 7th of the wide lines on Daf Pei Aleph. The Mishnah. Ochal v'shosa behelem echod, eino chayov elo chatas achas. If a person did these two acts, eating and drinking, in one hell, in one state of lack of awareness, in other words, he didn't discover between the eating and the subsequent drinking that it was Yom Kippur. He wasn't aware. So it was one state of lack of awareness. That results in bringing only one korban chatos, one sin offering. If, however, let us say the same scenario took place, ochal v'shos, however, he became aware in the interim that it was Yom Kippur. He ate a date quantity or more of food, and then in a state of forgetfulness, not realizing that it was Yom Kippur, and then became aware, and then later on forgot, and drank a revius, which is a liquid measure that is the minimum amount for being guilty on Yom Kippur. In a case like that, where he remembered in the interim, he would have to bring two sin offerings. Now, this point of ochal v'shosa behel emechon, in one state of lack of awareness resulting in one korban chatos, this is in contrast with the next case, ochal v'osa melocha. He ate, and he did an act of constructive activity. Let us say he engaged in sewing or in writing. So he ate, and then did another, and then did an act of constructive activity on Yom Kippur in one state of lack of awareness, not becoming aware in the interim that it was Yom Kippur. Chayov shtei chatos, because of their very different nature. One is an eating offense, which is a violation of inui, where he is supposed to maintain a state of self-deprivation, and he didn't. And the other is the realm of moloch, of constructive activity. Since they're two disparate realms, even though there was one state of lack of awareness, nevertheless, that generates the need to bring two separate sin offerings, two separate chatois. The Mishnah now goes into a different aspect of things. Ochal oichlim she'enon ruyin lachila. A person ate food items that aren't fit for eating. V'shosa mashkin she'enon ruyin l'shtia, or drank things that are not fit for drinking. Potter. So he's exempt. That's not considered a Yom Kippur violation. Shosot tzir or murias potter. If he drank tzir or murias, tzir and murias fall into the category, a general category of we'll say brine something. These are things that people would not drink, so they are exempt. Omar Reish Lokish Mipnei ma lo nemro azhora beinui. The topic that we are about to embark upon is why in the Torah is there no negative command regarding eating and drinking and the other four descriptions of inui in the Torah. Truth be told, that only eating and drinking is the real Doraisa level prohibition. So why is there no lav concerning inui? Now, we should point out parenthetically that the Torah is not warning on Yom Kippur against the act of eating. In other words, you wouldn't say in the Torah, lo sochlu b'Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, because what the Torah is expecting of us is to experience inui, self-deprivation. There is basically a positive command you are to deprive yourselves of food and drink on Yom Kippur. However, there's no negative command. There's no lav. Generally speaking, if there is a negative command in the Torah, and one is warned before committing the offense that he is about to violate a negative command that would result in lashing, so if he goes ahead and violates, he would get a set of 39 lashes. As far as a negative command for Yom Kippur, for the eating on Yom Kippur, we don't find such a verse. And hence, that's the issue right now. Why is there no negative command concerning Yom Kippur, the eating on Yom Kippur? The Gemara is going to answer very simply, Mishum de lo efsher, because it's not possible to author a meaningful verse that would express a negative command. Hechi nechtov, and here you can see with our markings a series of double underlines. These are all attempts to show what could have been written, and each time the Gemara will suggest or will reject the suggestion. Hechi nechtov, how could it be phrased? Nichtoiv Rachmona lo yochal, should the Torah write, do not eat? Yeah, that wouldn't be accurate though. Achilo bekezayis. When you see the term achilo in the Torah, it means an olive quantity. Yet we know that Yom Kippur is prohibited in not an olive quantity. If one eats an olive quantity of food, an olive size or an olive amount of food on Yom Kippur, he's not in violation. Only if he eats a greater amount, namely a date quantity of food. Nichtoiv Rachmana lo si'une, should the Torah write, again, in a negative phrasing, do not afflict yourself? Well, if the Torah would write, do not deprive yourself, do not suffer, kum echol mashma, it would sound as if the Torah is commanding you, get up and eat. And obviously, that's not what you are to do on Yom Kippur. Maskif lo Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya raises a question. Why do you say there's no way to write it? Nichtoiv Rachmona, Hishomer pen lo si'uneh. These are expressions, Hishomer pen, that indicate a negative command. So let the Torah phrase itself like this. Be very careful that you should not abrogate self-deprivation. The Gemara says, well, if it would be phrased like this, Im Kain Nefishi Lehu Lavi, that would create too many negative commands. We're looking for a singular negative command. Each one of those words, Hishomer and Pen, constitute each one on them on their own a negative command. And the Torah doesn't necessarily want to have a plethora of negative commands. Maskif lo Rav Bevai bar Abaye, Nichtoiv Rachmona, let the Torah write, Hishomer b'mitzvas inui. Having established that Hishomer indicates a negative command, so let it write that. Hishomer, that would be your negative command, the mitzvah inui, fulfillment of this particular command of inui, self-deprivation. The Gemara says, no, that wouldn't be effective, because im kain, Hishomer de lav equals lav. Hishomer de asay equals asay. When the word Hishomer appears together with a command that essentially is negative, then Hishomer would be negative. However, if Hishomer appears together with a positive command, for example, the mitzvah of Inui, you are commanded in a positive fashion to experience pain or suffering or self-deprivation. So that would then make the Hishomer into a positive command, so that Hishomer linked with Mitzvahs Inui wouldn't accomplish what we are looking for, a source or a verse that would express a negative command. Maskiflo Ravashi, Nichtoiv Al Tosur Minho Inui. Why not phrase this? Phrase it like this. Do not deviate from Inui. Now, saying, here you're not using the word Hishomer. You're saying Al Tosur, do not, there you've got your negative tone, do not deviate from Inui. Now that's a very good suggestion. And the Gemara says, Kashya. For this we have no response. So in the initial question of Reish Lakish, why didn't the Torah write a negative command and it could have been phrased Al Tosur Minho Inui? So we don't know. We don't have an answer for that. As we continue, we have a series marking. We have a bow tie shape, and on the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh, we have the bow tie is featured. And we've written there four makoros la'azhora le'inui, four sources indicating that there is an azhora, there exists an azhora for inui. And as we said earlier, the nafkamina of having an azhora, a negative command, would be that if one is warned ahead of time that in violation they could be subject to lashings, then the court would be able to administer the lashing punishment for such a violation. So here we have a point. We're calling this a long point. It's simply a point that the Tana Maisi Lo Mehocha. The Tana brings a source for a negative command in the following fashion. And truth be told, one has to go through this entire framed section plus the Gemara that follows. It's not going to be obvious in the source itself. Before we learn the text, we're going to give an overview of what we're about to see. Very highly structured Gemara. In this source, you see initially a series of triangles. The word Yochol is highlighted. Yochol introduces each time introduces a question. And on the side of the Gemara, we have the following note. Yochol are she'elois shematorosam lehochiach. The goal of each one of these triangles is to prove she'ein oinesh v'afilu ein azhora al toisefes yom kippur. The concept of Tosefis, which we've dashed, underlined, as the source goes on, is adding. Tosefis means to add. Adding, adding time. Adding minutes on the clock to the observance of Yom Kippur aspects of Yom Kippur, even before the holiday formally begins. Let us assume that the technical beginning of Yom Kippur is as three stars appear. Laila, three stars. That's the official Torah beginning. If we speak in more general terms, we'll say as it becomes officially dark. What the Torah envisions is that one starts observing aspects of holiness. We'll see later in our sugya, this has validity and applicability with regard to Shabbos, with regard to Yom Tov, holidays, that even while it's still day, and we're not talking about many hours, we're just talking about, in fact, a couple of minutes, but a couple minutes of daytime should also be dedicated to the observance of the Kodesh, the holy day. When it comes to Yom Kippur, there are two aspects. There is the refraining from constructive activity, from malacha, and there is the observance of inui, the self-deprivation aspects, and we can make things simpler. Stop eating. In other words, Tosefes Yom Kippur would involve stopping all malach activities and stopping eating and drinking while it's still day. It's still Erev Yom Kippur, technically speaking, so the 9th of Tishrei, but nevertheless, one should refrain. What the goal of these triangles is to demonstrate that there is, however, if someone doesn't observe this Tosefis Kedusha, this adding, he nevertheless is not going to be punished. He's not subject to Kores. Kores is the punishment for one who violates actual Yom Kippur. He won't be subject to Kores, nor will he be considered in violation of a negative command either. In other words, there would be no Malkos either. If someone eats right up till dark, or someone sows and writes things and does plowing and planting or whatever constructive, there are 39 different constructive activities, and he does them right up to darkness, not including darkness. So we're going to try to prove those four points. There's an issue of oinesh, of punishment, and azhara with regard to, those are two points, with regard to malacha, and there's oinesh and azhara with regard to inui, all referring to the Tosefis time period, that additional daytime refraining. Later in the source, on the first of the widest lines, you can see we've dashed underlined the key phrase, Azhoro le'inui shel yoim atzmoi loy lo magnu. So, minayin. The Azhoro, the negative command concerning the fulfillment of inui on Yom Kippur atzmo, on the day itself, that we haven't learned. We don't have a source yet. So minayin, the Gemara will ask over there, where is it? So at that point is where the source becomes relevant to our immediate issue. Our issue has been an azhara. Again, azhara is a negative command regarding inui. The source will at that point suggest where I know that from, and that's going to be reflected in the house markings with the point facing up. We have on the side our Mivneh note, Nisyonos Limtso Azhor Le'inui B'Yom Kippur. Those are attempts to find a negative command concerning Inui on Yom Kippur. And the inverted house, Ikol Mifrach, will highlight the expression, the Ikol Mifrach, I can challenge, I can undo what you said. They represent the Chios, rejection. So you're going to have a give and take structure. Now that we've hopefully laid everything out, we can enjoy smooth sailing through the source. We go back to our bow tie. Vitano Maisi Lo Mehocha. The Tano brings the Moker, the source for Inui, Azora by Inui, from the following. And we wrote above here the word Etzem. Etzem, that's just to clue you into the fact that the true source isn't going to be in the Tanaic source itself. It's going to be the line right after it. So the source begins dealing with the issue of Tosefis. You'll see shortly, V'inisem es nafsho sechem v'chol melocha lo sa'asu. You are commanded to deprive yourself on Yom Kippur and do not engage in constructive activities. Yocho yehe onush kores al Tosefis melocha. Would a person, let us say, if he continues doing melocha right up to the onset of Yom Kippur, the actual Yom Kippur, would he be chayev kores for not observing the Tosefis? Talmud lomar v'chol hanefesh asher loy asher taaseh kol melocha be'etzem hayoyim hazeh v'havadati es hanefesh ahi mikerev amo. And from this pasuk, which deals with melocha, we learn al itzumo shel yoim onush kores. Itzumo means from on the day itself, the actual day, as the pasuk said, be'etzem, on the essence of the day itself, there is a kores punishment. V'eino onush kores al tosefes melacha. However, there is no kores punishment for one who does melacha during the tosefes, the additional period. Yochol, and by the way, the concept of Tosefos has relevance not only as we illustrated it at the beginning of the day, but also vis-a-vis the end of the day as well. In other words, there's an official, a technical end of the day, and then there's a concept of adding beyond that. Rashi, though, he focuses the discussion on stopping malacha miba'od yom. So we're focusing our current discussion on stopping before the onset of the day. All we mention is that the concept of Tosefos has relevance also to the end of the day as well. The Gemara continues, Yocho lo yehe onush kores al Tosefos malacha, avli he onush kores al Tosefos inui. Maybe there's no kores for doing malacha right up till Yom Kippur proper, but there would be an onish of kores, a punishment of kores, for eating right up till Yom Kippur proper. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says otherwise. Ki chol ha-nefesh asher lo su'uneh be'etzem hayoyim hazeh v'nichrusah. So this Pasuk features inui, and it mentions kores, and the word etzem appears here as well, the day itself. Al itzumo shel yoyim onush kores, the punishment of kores is applicable to the day itself. The eino onush kores al tosefes inui. However, there's no kores punishment for the lack of additional time as inui is concerned. So if one were to eat right up till the actual beginning of Yom Kippur, it might be an improper thing to do. However, there is no kores associated with it. Yochol lo yeh b'chlal oynish. It could be that there is no punishment. Avol yeh muzhar al tosefes melacha. Muzhar indicates a lav. You'll notice with our markings we have squiggle underlined the key words of onish we had before, the word onush, punished, and muzhar, the presence of a negative command. Maybe there is a negative command, and we mentioned before that that could have ramifications for the lashing punishment. But in order for there to be a lashing punishment, there has to be a negative command. So maybe there's a negative command that concerns a violator of Tosefes Melacha. Talmud Lomar, V'chol Melacha lo yisasu be'etzem hayoyim hazeh. And in this pasuk, you have the word loi sasu. That's a negative command. Al itzumo shel yom hu muzar. And in the same pasuk, you have the word be'etzem, means on the day itself. So on the day itself, he is muzhar. The loi sasu applies the negative command. The eino muzhar al tosefes melacha. However, there is no negative command concerning one who didn't add to the day vis-a-vis refraining from malacha. Yochol lo yehe muzhar al tosefes malacha, avol yehe muzhar al tosefes inui. Maybe there's a negative command concerning one who eats right up till the onset of Yom Kippur. The Gemara answers, v'din hu. And now we're going to apply logic to show that there is no azhora for Tosefes Inui. What's the logic? Uma malacha shenoy heges v'shabosus v'yomim tofim. Eino musar olah. Mind you, Shabbos, but mind you, malacha, which has broader application, it applies to Shabbos and Yom Tov, so it has this more serious side to it. And yet, there is no azhora on Tosefes Melacha. Inui she'enoi noyheg v'shabosos v'yomim tovim. Inui, which is a more limited type commandment, certainly eino din means certainly shelo yehe muzar olav. There's certainly no negative command. Av ol azhora l'inui shel yoyim atzmoi lo lomar. Now we're going into a different topic. We're going to the issue of an azhora, a negative command, as regards inui for Yom Kippur itself. We haven't seen a source for that. So, minayin, where am I to derive that? Suggestion. Lo yoimar oinesh b'malacha degomar mi'inoi. The Torah, technically, didn't have to write an oinesh, a kores, by a malacha violator. That could have been derived from inui. As follows. Uma inui she'enu noheg b'shabosos v'yomim toivim onush kores. Inui, a very limited type commandment. It has no application to Shabbos and Yom Tov, and yet it carries with it the kores punishment. Melocha she'noheges b'shabosos v'yomim toivim lo yikol shekein. Melocha, which is prohibited not only on Yom Kippur, but on Shabbos and Yom Tov as well, so all the more so, there is understood to be a kores punishment vis-a-vis melocha on Yom Kippur. Lomo ne'emar, so why does the Torah spell out an oinish for melocha on Yom Kippur? So I'll tell you why. Mufne, it is available, it's extra, it's there for another purpose other than to tell me the obvious, because as far as the obvious is concerned, that could have been derived. So why does the Torah write it? Make it an available word, lahakish velodun mimenu gezeira shava, to compare and to make a word comparison. Ne'emar oinesh ba'inui ve'ne'emar oinesh b'melacha. Truth is that kores is written in both contexts, by inui and by melacha. Ma melacha loyonash ela im kinisir. Just like by melacha, the punishment exists only because there is also an azhara, and in fact there is an explicit azhara posuk for melacha. So af inui loyonash ela im kinisir. Therefore, by inui as well, one is to understand that there is an azhara as well. So it might not be explicitly written, but through the gezeira shava, it achieves that equivalency. Iko lemifrach. No, we can undo this logic. You were claiming that inui is a something that is, it has lesser ramifications. That in so far that it's not binding on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and yet it carries with it an onus of kores melacha, which is, so why we said before. So why is oinish written by melacha? It could have been derived from inui, which has a lesser status. So here we say that's not so clear, and we can argue to the contrary. Ma le'inui, inui isn't a lesser status type thing. Shelo huter michlolo. We find with regard to eating that there's no Torah allowance for eating whatsoever. Tomar b'malacha shehutra michlolo. Malacha, in fact, there's Torah sanction for doing forbidden activities on Yom Kippur itself, and that's in the form of the sacrificial ritual. Everyone knows that on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash there was slaughtering taking place, there was burning taking place, there were a number of malachas that were taking place that are generally speaking forbidden, and yet the Torah allows them to be done. That's called hutra michlola, allowed. Hutra means permitted or being allowed. Michlola, from the general rule, as an exception to the general rule of prohibition. So that's an aspect of leniency that you find by melacha. So if the Torah would have written kores by inui, I wouldn't have necessarily known that there's kores by melacha. Melacha has this aspect of leniency to it. Ella, let's try a new direction of logic. In fact, picking up on this last point, we're going to construct a new piece of logic. Elo lo yoimar oinesh beinui degomar mimalocha. Let the Torah have withheld writing the kores punishment by inui. It could have been derived from the fact that there's kores by malocha, as follows. Ma malocha shuchu michlola onush kores, mind you, malocha, which has a lenient side to it, insofar as it's hutra michlola, one is allowed to do certain malochas, and yet, even though it has this lenient aspect to it, it's punishable by kores. Inui shelo hutor michlolo, inui which has no Torah sanction, no, the Torah doesn't sanction any specific times of eating on Yom Kippur, so lo kol shekein, so all the more so it would carry with it a kores punishment. Lo monemar, so why does the Torah write the oinish by inui? It could have been derived from malacha. Oh, so it's kind of extra mufne. It's available lahakish velo, to compare to it veladun mimeno gzera shava, and to conduct or create a word comparison. Ne'amar oinish be'oinui ve'ne'amar oinish be'malacha. The Torah writes oinish in both topics. Ma malocha onash v'hizir, just like by malocha, the Torah writes an oinish, and there is also a negative command. Af inui onash v'hizir, so too, with regard to inui, in addition to the oinish, there is also an understood azhara. So that would be our source. Our question originally was, where is azhara written in the Torah by inui? So the answer would be, it's through this gezera shava of kores between malocha and inui. The Gemara responds, ikah lemifrach, that can be undone. Ma lemalocha, you can't claim that malocha is a lesser type offense, and hence create the logic we just suggested. Shekein noyhegis b'shabosos v'yomim tovim. Malocha has an aspect of stringency, of chumrah that you don't find by inui. And what's the chumrah or the stringency that you find by malocha? Insofar that it applies to Shabbos and Yom Tov as well. So it could be that in such a case, so there is an there is an oinesh of kores. Tomar be'inui she'eno noheg b'shabbosos v'yomim tovim. Without the Torah spelling out kores by inui, I wouldn't have known that there's kores. It doesn't have irrelevance to Shabbos. There's no inui on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Therefore, to suggest that the kores that's written by inui is unnecessary, that's not so. It's necessary. And if since it's necessary, we can't claim, as we did two lines above, that it's mufne, that it's available for making a word comparison when it's needed to teach me the very essence of punishment by inui itself, that I wouldn't have known simply by stating punishment or kores by malacha. So, at this point, we're back to the drawing board. How do I know azhara as far as inui on Yom Kippur itself? Omer Ravinos, Ravina answers, Hai Tana etzem gomar. The Tana is making a gzeirah shava not through the oinesh, not through kores. That, as we said, isn't available. A word, we don't randomly compare words. First of all, gzeirah shava is based on an oral tradition. And in that context, the word that's being used ought to be available, mufne, meaning it wasn't necessary to have it written per se to teach me the point that it appears to be stating itself. That could have been figured through other means. And the only reason for its presence is to make a word comparison. We weren't successful with regard to kores. We didn't find the Kore's term being extra. So where do we find an extra expression in this context? We find it with regard to the word etzem. So the Tana compares inui to malacha through the word etzem in both areas, both with regard to malacha and with regard to inui. We find that word be'etzem hayom hazeh, and we say mufne, that the word etzem is an extra expression. The e lo mufne, if it wasn't an extra word, extra means extra and hence available in the final analysis. It's not extra in the simple sense, because it's needed for this alternative purpose. It's needed not to tell me the point itself, but rather it's available for making the gezera shava. The e lo mufne, if it was not available, it wasn't extra. Ika lemifrach kideparchinon. We would be able to undo the logic as we've already demonstrated, that you can't derive one topic from the other. You can't derive inui from malacha. So the Gemara says, lai, ironically, lai means in truth, afnuye mufnet. There is an extra expression here for making the gzera shava. Where do you see that it's extra? Michti. Looking into this, we find Chamisha Kroi Ksivi B'Malacha. There are five psukim in the context of Malacha. And they actually are four lavim, four negative commands, and one reference to Kores that you find in the Torah regarding Yom Kippur. Chad, one of these five, is le'azhara d'yamama, warning, creating a negative command as far as malach is concerned on the day, daytime hours. V'chad le'azhara d'leila, one concerning nighttime hours. V'chad le'oinish d'yamama, one of the psukim is for teaching me the oinish of a daytime violator. And v'chad lo'inish d'leila, one to teach me about the nighttime violator. V'chad, and the fifth expression, the fifth posuk, lafnuyei, is available, is extra. L'migmar inui mi malacha. Bein d'yamama, bein d'leila, to learn the properties of inui, specifically the azhora for inui from malacha. Bein d'yamama, bein d'leila, whether it be concerning eating during the nighttime of Yom Kippur or the daytime hours of Yom Kippur. So through this gezera shava of etzem, and we know that we're able to make the gezera shava because there is an extra term showing us that we are to compare the topics of Malacha and Inui. We continue in the Gemara. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana. In the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they present the following Tanaic source. Ne'mar kan Inui, it says in the context of Yom Kippur, the word Inui, and the Ne'mar Lahalon. Lahalon is a reference to the topic known as Naro Hamurasa. This is a girl who's she's a Nara because she's between 12 and 12 and a half of age, and someone has betrothed her. That means someone has offered her money or something of value in anticipation of taking her as his wife. At the point of offering her money or something of value and her acceptance, she is considered a married woman, and she's considered an Ashes Ish, a married woman, and that makes it such that if she were to conduct intimacy with another man, that would be a capital offense. In the case of Naam Ross, involves her being participatory in intimacy with another man. And on the side, Of the Gemara, we have a pasuk, Dvarim Chof Beis Pasuk Chof Dalid. It says, "Votzesim Eshneim El Sharo Ir Hahi," and you shall take the two who engage in this illicit intimacy, the Nara Murasa and the other man, to the gate of the city. Uskaltem Oisam Bavonim Vomesu Es Hanaro Al Dvar Shir Lotzako Buir Ves Hoish Al Dvar Shir Ino Es Eishes Reihu. Will be Arta Horomi Kirbechop. We read the whole pasuk. For our purposes, we want to emphasize just one word. You see the word Ino, and we dashed underline that on the side of the Gemara. So you see that the word Inui appears by Nara Hamuras as well. And we continue in the Gemara. Three lines from the bottom, we said that you have Inui Khan by Yom Kippur, you have Inui Lahalon over there by Namarasa. Malahalon Lo'ona Shilim Kein Isir, just like by Nara Hamurasa, there is a punishment, and there's also a negative command in the Torah concerning that illicit relationship. Afkan Lo'ona Shilim Kein Isir. So to hear by Yom Kippur, you are to understand that there is a built-in Azhara as well as the stated Onesh. Rav Acha bar Yankiv Omar, he says, Yolif Shabbos, Shabbosoin, Mishabbos, Bracious. The term Shabbos, Bracious means your weekly Saturday, your standard day of Shabbos. So the Pasuk by Yom Kippur has the term Shabbos, Shabbosoin, and you have that term by your weekly Shabbos. Mala halon lo onash elimkin. These are just like by your standard Shabbos. The Torah has a punishment spelled out as well as an azhara spelled out. Afkan, so too by Yom Kippur, lo onash elim kein hisu. The Torah is states a punishment with an understanding that it carries with it a negative command as well. Again, that's by virtue of a gezerah shava, of a word comparison between two topics. And when that happens, by virtue of the oral law, the word comparison makes it such that the properties of one topic are present in the second topic. So, just like on Shabbos, in addition to the punishment, there is also an azhara, so too by Yom Kippur. Rav Papa Omar. Rav Papa, he has a new approach. He is, up till now, we've seen the use of word comparisons, but Rav Papa says, Hu gufei Shabbos ikri. When the Torah speaks about Shabbos and the Azhora and the punishments, it is talking about Yom Kippur itself. The word Shabbos, Shabboson, applies, the word Shabbos or the concept of Shabbos applies directly to Yom Kippur, not by Yom Kippur being derived from another topic. And where do we see Yom Kippur itself being referred to as Shabbos? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says in Vayikra Perek Chof Gimel, chapter 23, Pasuk Lamed Beis, verse 32. On the side of the Gemara, we've written the Pasuk. It says, Shabbos Shabboson hu lochem v'inisem es nafshosechem betisha lechidish me'erev. That's betisha lechidish bo erev me'erev ad erev tishbesu shabbatchem. Well, Tisha L'Chodesh is Yom Kippur. That is the night after Tisha L'Chodesh, the night after the ninth of Tishrei, is Yom Kippur. So, the Gemara at the top line says that Hu Gufei Shabbos Ikri Dichtiv Tishbesu Shabbatchem. That you can see in the Pasuk we read, the last two words of the Pasuk. Bishlamo Rav Papa, lo Omar ki Rav Acha bar Yankiv. I understand Rav Papa, who was the opinion we just saw, he doesn't go with Rav Acha's approach. Dikra diksiv begufei odif, a posuk that is stated in the topic itself, is odif, is stronger, is better, is greater. In other words, this is a more solid source. without relying on word comparisons, you're telling me that Yom Kippur itself is referred to as Shabbos, and when the Torah states Azhoras with regard to the term Shabbos, that's including Yom Kippur. Elo Rav Acha Bar Yankiv, my time Elo Omar Krav Papa. Rav Acha, who relied on a word comparison, why didn't he learn from Tishbesu Shabbatchem? Answer, Miboy Alei Lichdesanya. He needs the words Tishbesu Shabbatchem for a separate teaching, for something else, as is taught in the following Tanaic source. And it's on the side of the Gemara, under the Nosea, or topic heading, we've written, Mokor Shemoisifin Mechol Alokidesh B'Yom Kippur Shabbosos V'Yom Tov. We alluded to Tosefes in our previous discussion on Omed Aleph. Here, we get back to that topic with sources, psukim, verses, regarding Tosefes, adding to the holiness from the mundane. In other words, using hours or minutes of the weekday, that which is chol, the weekday, and converting them or elevating them to holy minutes prior to the onset of the official holy day itself. So we have a source, and it says, "V'nisem es nafsho sechem b'tisho l'chodesh." You shall afflict yourselves on the 9th of Tishrei. That's the literal reading. Yochol yasu v'sana b'tisho. Does that mean that during the entire day of the 9th of Tishrei, I'm supposed to start my self-deprivation? Tamid lomer bo'erev. The pasuk that we read already, you can see, has the word bo'erev attached. It's the 9th, but in the evening. I bo'erev yochol mishetechshach. If it says in the night, in the evening, does that mean only after darkness sets in? Tamid lomer b'tisha. To counterbalance that, the Torah, though, says tisha on the 9th. The darkness after the 9th really is the next day. So Betisha means the 9th itself. So how do you resolve this? You start while it's still just a little bit of daytime left to the 9th day as it ends, and the 10th is ushered in. Those last few moments of the 9th daytime should be used to observe Inui of Yom Kippur. Mikan Shemoisifin Mechol HaKadosh. From here we learn that you are to add to the holiness from the mundane time period. The last few minutes of the mundane are added, are elevated to holiness. V'Einli Ela B'Knisaso. So far, this shows us on the with regard to the beginning of the day, the holy day, b'yitziyosu minayin, with regard to the end of the holy day, the concept of Tosefes also applies. Where do we know that from? Talmud lomar me'erev ad erev, from one extreme to the other extreme. In other words, just like at the beginning of the day, there was Tosefes, so to the other extreme of the day, the end of the day, there's also Tosefes, spill over, continue the holiness into the next day. And when we say the next day, maybe we didn't spell it out till now, but many of you already know it anyhow, that the day is defined from the appearance of three stars, that the official onset of night. V'eini elo Yom HaKippurim. Till now, I would know only with regard to Yom Kippur. Shabbosos minayin. What about the weekly Shabbos? This concept applies as well, the concept of Tosefes. Tamid lomar tishbesu. Here you've got the words that we were focusing on earlier. Here you see the word is used for Tosefes, and not for that which Rav Papa claimed. Ein li ela Shabbosos. Yomim tovim minayin. What about standard holidays? Talmud Lomar, Shabbatchem. That's an extra word to include other holidays. Ha Ketzad. So, how is this to be understood? Kol Mokom Shenemar Shavus. Wherever the Torah indicates Shavus, like the word Shabbos, means refraining. This is in contrast to, let us say, a day like Hanukkah or Purim. Those are days that don't have restrictions, malacha restrictions associated with them. But those kind of holidays where the Torah warns against constructive activity, where the Torah commands cessation, Shavus, Moisifin Mechol Alakadish. Concomitant with that is adding from the mundane, in other words, taking from the hours of the mundane and elevating them to an element of holiness. The Gemara continues, Vitano de Etzem Etzem. This is a reference to that which we saw in Amud Aleph. If you recall, it was the first bow tie. That Tana that learned Azhora of Yom Kippur from the Gezeirah Shovah of Etzem Etzem, Hai Betisha L'Chodesh, this Betisha L'Chodesh Pasuk that we just saw in the Tanaic source, he doesn't use that pasuk for Tosefes. So, my Ovid Lei, we should point out that in that particular Tana had made reference to Tosefes, but from another source. In the course of that discussion, he pointed out that there's no Oynish and Azhora for Tosefes. However, there exists Tosefes. And Rashi points out on the upper part of the Rashi commentary, V'tano de etzem etzem, me de itzterich lim'uti l'tosefes achol, from the fact that he was preoccupied with excluding Tosefis from the realm of punishment and Azhora, we understand, though, that there is a concept of Tosefis. The high vinisem betisha my ovid late. So that Tana who understands Tosefes, we'll just say, from another source, what does he do with this pasuk that we were darshaning in the Brisa above concerning what the Brisa had used it for learning Tosefes? That Tana has another source for Tosefes, so what does he do with this particular pasuk? Answer, Miboya le lichedetoni chia bar rav mi difti. He needs it for the following teaching. The Toni Chia Barav mi difti, that's Chia Barav from Difti, is the name of a place. He teaches the following. V'nisem es nafsho sechem betisha. V'chi betisha misanin. Is that posuk so? Is it so that we fast on the 9th of Tishrei? V'alo be'asor misanin. We practice our tainus, our fasting on the 10th of Tishrei. So what does the pasuk mean when it says ninth? Elo lomar loch. It conveys the following. Kol oichel v'shoisa b'tshi. Anyone who eats and drinks on the ninth of Tishrei, in anticipation of the fasting day of Yom Kippur on the 10th, malav akosuv kiilu isana tshi v'asiri. He's given credit. He's considered as if he fasted not only on the 10th, but on the 9th as well. So just like the fasting on the 10th is considered a very great mitzvah, so too, eating and drinking on the 9th is considered a very great mitzvah. Continuing in the Gemara, with the new topic on the side, we have a Noseya topic heading, Oichlin Umashkin She'enon Ru'uyin Lachila. The Gemara, Ochal Oichlin She'en Ru'uyin Lachila, that's a quote from our Mishnah, Omar Rava, Kos Pilpili, B'yoyma de Kippuri, Potter. A second point, Kos Zangvila, B'yoyma de Kippuri, Potter. Kos, for our purposes, means chewed on. We have seen this term in recent Shiurim, where it has to do with eating. It's eating something that you ordinarily would not eat. Pilpili is a spice, sometimes translated as pepper in the context of pepper spice or peppercorns. One who chews on them on Yom Kippur would not be chews. It doesn't mean just chewing and swallowing it on Yom Kippur. He is not considered in violation of inui. Rashi says, Kos pilplin ein ze yishuv hadas, shein ze derech afiloso. It doesn't create the state of yishuv hadas, a peace of mind, which represents the undoing of inui. It doesn't accomplish yishuv hadas, for this is not the normal way of consuming pilpli. Peppercorns are used as spices in cooking foods, but just popping them into your mouth and chewing and eating them like that, that's not its normal way of consumption. Hence, it doesn't create yishuv hadas, peace of mind or comfort. Likewise, Rava made a second point or second illustration of this. Kos, the same verb of chewing and swallowing, zangvila. Zangvila is another kind of spice, zangvil. And he eats this on Yom Kippur, Potter, he is exempt. On the side, we have an explanation of the diamonds that we're going to see. And this is introduced by the Mivneh, the structural note. Kushios al hodukom arava kos pupuli vizangvilo biyoma de kipuri. Rava mentioned two points, and the diamonds are numbered as one and a second diamond later. They are questions. The first diamond corresponds to the first point Rava made, because the Gemara will bring a source featuring Pilpilin, and then the second diamond introduces not a Tanaic source, but a question from Rav Nachman, and that's going to be used as a question on Rava. Questions are raised, as we just illustrated, and answers are also given. And that is the next marking. You can see the double underline, lo kashya. The Gemara will resolve both questions in actually the same way. The same distinction is going to be made. So now we turn to the Gemara, Mesvei. Before we read the source, let's take advantage of a pasuk that we've written on the side of the Gemara. Vayikra, Perek Yutes Pasuk Chav Gimel, it says, V'chi Savo El Haaretz, when you come into the land of Israel, L'netatem Kol Eitz Ma'achol, and you plant any fruit, any tree that is Ma'achol. We'll call it, without literally translating, it's a fruit tree, fruit-bearing tree. It shall remain for a period of 3 years. Its first 3 years from the point that it takes root, plus 3 years, you are not to eat from any fruits that may come out. That's called orla. Now we turn back to our Gemara. Hoya Rabbi Meir Omer. Mimashma shinema varaltem or loso es pirio. From the fact that the Torah says, and you shall refrain from its fruit. Eini yodea she eats maicholhu. Wouldn't it be obvious then that we're dealing with a fruit bearing tree? Elomat Talmud Lomar. Eitz ma'achol. Why does the Torah spell out that it's a fruit-bearing tree? It could have just said, "Unatatem kol eitz varaltem losu espirio," and you shall refrain from its fruits. Why does the term ma'achol have to be spelled out? Eitz ma'achol, a fruit-bearing tree. So the term eitz ma'achol tells me eitz shetam eitzo pirio shove. There's a type of It's a hint to a type of tree whose wood has the same taste as its fruit. Heve Omer Zeb Pilpilin. This standard or description is met, is fulfilled, is illustrated through the pilpilin tree. So we see that pilpilin is called ma'achol. The pasuk calls it eats ma'achol. It's a food item. And l'lamdecha sha'pilpilin chayovin ba'arla. It tells us that pilpilin is a type of tree and not a vegetable, and as such orla applies. Orla does not apply to tomato plants. Those are not considered eitzim, but the the botanical entity from which peppercorns emanate is considered a tree, hence subject to orla, which is a tree related commandment. V'ein Eretz Yisrael chasera klum, and we also see that the land of Israel lacks nothing. In other words, even peppercorn trees grow in Israel. Shenemar, Israel is described as lo sechsar kol bo. It is not lacking, everything is contained therein. For our purposes, we want to focus, as Gemara markings always strives to do, the focus on the main point. In this source, we dashed underline the word pilpilin. We wrote above it, it's called a maichol. That would seem to contradict that which Rava says, that the consumption of pilpili is not a Yom Kippur violation because it's not a maichol, it's not food. The Gemara says, lo kashya, there is no contradiction, there's no difficulty here. Ha biritifta, ha biaveshta. Ritifta, loosely translated, would mean it's fresh, and yaveshta, it's dried out. When the peppercorns are fresh, they are fit, they're roy for eating, and they can be described as a maichal. When they're dried out, so then Rava's din applies. Amalei ravino lemeremar. The Omar Rav Nachman, and this question you can we'll see is really focused on Rava number 2. Did Rav Nachman not say Hai Himlasa the Asi Mibe Hindui? The Himlasa, which comes from Hindui. Now again, we're dealing with a type of spice. And Bay Hindui is a place. Sharia. It is mutter. Now Rashi says that on Sharia, Rashi says, V'ein bo mishum bishulei nochrim. This Hindua, if it's cooked up by a non-Jew, there is a prohibition that you find in Maseches Avodah Zarah that Jews are not to eat meals made of, prepared, cooked up by idol worshippers. So, that rule is a rabbinic ruling and it applies to items that cannot be eaten in their raw state. So, Rav Nachman tells us that Himlasa is something that is allowed to be eaten, even if it's cooked up by an idol worshipper, because it can be eaten as it is in its raw state. Umevorchen, the Gemara continues and says, Umevorchen olel borei pri adoma. And you make a brocha of borei pri adoma on it, being that it's a vegetable category, grows from the ground. What do we see? We see from here that Himlasor, Zangvila, is considered a maichel, something that you eat. We should, we we see from here, of course, then, we see a difficulty for that which Rava taught. The Gemara says, Lo kashya, there's no difficulty here. Ha biritivta, v'ha biaveshta. If it's fresh, so then that's what Rav Nachman was referring to. If it's dry, so that's what Rava was referring to. Before we continue, we just want to note that we're going to deal with more items that are not considered food substances, and what is the din if one eats them? Tanu Rabbanan. Ochal, a person ate ole konim, potter. Lulve gefanim, chayav. If a person ate the leaves of reed plants on Yom Kippur, he's exempt. If he ate lulve gefanim, tendrils that grow on vines, part of a grape cluster, so eating the tendrils, he will be chayav. Elu hein lulve gefanim, what is considered lulve gefanim that is edible? Omar Rav Yitzchok Magdala. Rav Yitzchok Magdala, it's his name and the place that he comes from. Kol shelivlivu me Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom HaKippurim. Anything that blossoms from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur to Yom Kippur, at that point it's considered edible. However, if it would livlivu, it would emerge before Rosh Hashanah, by the time Yom Kippur comes, it would already have hardened to the point that it's not considered edible. Rav Kahana, a second approach, says, Omar kol shloshim yom, that for its first 30 days since it appears, it's considered edible. This would be a longer time period for its being categorized as food. In other words, if we're dealing with Yom Kippur as our target, so 30 days before that would be basically the 10th of Elul, the month before Tishrei. Anything that emerges prior to the 10th of Elul, so it would not be a Yom Kippur violation if one eats it on Yom Kippur, more than 30 days having lapsed. Tanyo Kavosid Rav Yitzchok Magdala, we have a Tanaic source that follows the understanding of Rav Yitzchok, and it reads, Ochal, Ole Konem Potter, Veluve Gefanem Chayev. Elu hein luve gefanim. The following are elu gefanim kol shelivlum Rosh Hashanah v'ad Yom Kippurim. That is the same standard that we saw under Rabbi Yitzchok Magdala's name. Before continuing in the Gemara, on the side we have our noseh, our topic heading, and we've written medaikim mea Mishnah. We infer from the Mishnah the Kotoni, the Mishnah that said shasa tzir omurias potter. Ha, choymetz chayav. The Mishnah says that drinking tzir or murias, different liquids. We said in general the term tzir is associated with brine. That is exempt. However, one who would drink vinegar, that would be guilty on Yom Kippur. So the Mishnah is. The Gemara itself will make this inference, and based on that, the Gemara will say our Mishnah is in accordance with Rebbe, that Rebbe holds vinegar to be a type of beverage, if you will. It's a drinkable beverage, and hence constituting a Yom Kippur violation. Regarding that, we will see in the Gemara that Rav Gittel Bar Menashe, he rules that the halacha does not follow Rebbe. Now, upon hearing that, people concluded, oh, the halacha does not follow Rebbe, so that vinegar is not considered a beverage. If that's the case, let's go have some vinegar drinks on Yom Kippur. And the result of that was something quite unfortunate, and Rav Gittel then will be found in this Gemara defending his psak, criticizing that which the masses did upon hearing his ruling initially. And we highlight his defense points with a double underline, and on the side of the Gemara we have this under our Mivner structural note, Amar, Rav Gittel megain al piskoi she'ein halacha karebi. Rav Gittel will be seen defending his point that, or his ruling that the halacha doesn't follow Rebbe. So now in the Gemara, let us see this. Shosot siro murius potter ha choymetz chayav. We infer that maybe for drinking siro murius one would be exempt, but for drinking chometz one would be chayav. The Mishnah issues its exemption only as far as siro murius, but not vinegar. Masnisin moni, our Mishnah is in accordance with whom? Rebbe, this reflects Rebbe's opinion. Desanya, Rebbe Oimer, Choymetz, Meshiv, Esanefesh. Rebbe says that vinegar is capable of restoring a person's spirit, meaning Yom Kippur is a day that we're supposed to experience inui, self-deprivation, and Meshiv Esanefesh, that is an undoing of inui. As Rashi says, umavatilis inui, it cancels it. Voids the state of inui. Dorash Rav Gittel bar Menashe mi Biri Denarish. Rav Gittel from Biri Denarish, the name of his place, he says, Ein halocha karebi. Well, Lashona, the next year, Nafki kuli alma mozgu v'shosu chola. The next year, everyone went out on Yom Kippur and they filled up their cups with vinegar. Now, mozgu, Rashi adds, and this is very important, Nosnubo Mayim Lahatish Koichli added water to their vinegar to weaken it. Otherwise, vinegar is a very intense type of liquid. So they moderated it by adding water to it. They diluted it. Shoma Rav Gittel Vikpin. Rav Gittel heard of what happened. And he was upset. Omar Rav Gittel said, Amar de Amri Ano de Evet. I only said post facto, if one happened to have drunk vinegar on Yom Kippur, so he's not considered a Yom Kippur violator. L'chad chilo mi Amri, did I ever say, as a first choice, to proactively go ahead and drink vinegar on Yom Kippur? Amar de Amri Ano Purta. Furthermore, I said a little bit. Tuva mi Amri. Did I say to fill up entire mugs full of vinegar and drink it? Amar d'amriyano chai. If I said that the halacha doesn't follow Rebbe and that vinegar is not considered a beverage, I said so chai, meaning in its undiluted state. Mozug mi amri. Did I say thusly with water added to it as well? Absolutely not. So, as you can see, Rav Gittel, by merely saying Ein Halacha Karebi, people got the wrong impression. They went out and acted on their own, upsetting Rav Gittel very much, and of course Rav Gittel showed us how they got it all wrong. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.